Welcome to Headlines. This is David Lichtenstein here in the Yeshiva Shalmaila. This week we will be speaking about a number of topics. We will start out with something we got a bunch of emails, etc., from our listeners. There is now a restaurant in the Five Towns called Doma, which serves a $1,000 pastrami sandwich, and this has made its way around the internet, and has a heksha from the Vad Rabbanim of the Five Towns. And we will be speaking to Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz, and our question is, it would seemingly be, I can't think of a better example of what the Ramban calls a novel Bershus HaTorah than a $1,000 pastrami sandwich. It's a fresserie that, nationwide would raise eyebrows. And the question is there a problem with Rabbanim giving a heksher on something that not only is it a terrible example for our children, it's Ramban calls it a novel Bershus HaTorah. I don't believe you can make a bracha on such a sandwich. We're going to, Ramosha Feinstein writes in Igros Moshe, when he writes about recreational drugs, he writes that any type of eating that is Zolo Vasove is an Issa Daraisa, Prima Godim, and many of the other Paiskim who say the same thing. So, what is it about? Why, when it comes to kashrus, do we seemingly close our eyes towards anything as to whether the meat is kosher or not? So the meat could be served by somebody who is dressed in a bathing suit. They torture the animal. If it's kosher, is there something wrong with a heksha like this? That is the question that we will pose to Rabbi Leibowitz. And then we will be speaking about secular, the chiyuv to learn, is there a chiyuv to send your children to a high school that has secular subjects? And we will have on that Rav Gedalia Weinberger of the Agudas Yisrael, who's the head of PCCS, and he will speak about how those who don't go to high school, PCCS has stopped accepting them. This is Lakewood's program where they teach malacha in a very short course. He says because they're so far behind, they can't even be taught a job. We will have cameo from the Philadelphia Yeshiva of Shul Kamenetsky. We'll have Reb David Yosef from Harnuf, Reb Mendel Shafran, Reb Nissen Kaplan, Reb Herschel Shechta. We will have Reb Nachum Eisenstein, who says, you don't need anything but learning Gemara today. And then we will have from the Telza, Reb Shiva Shaft, Reb Zalman Gifta, and Reb Meir Schiller of New Square. So we have quite an assortment of Rabbanim. Should we be teaching our children English? And what brought this on, I don't remember if I said this story, is I get a lot of calls, emails, etc. And one call was from a young fellow. He said he's getting married, and he wants to go into real estate, and can I give him some advice? So I spoke to him, and I said, well, how's your math? He says, I think it's good. Now, look, I interview for a living to a certain extent. So I said, let me ask you a few questions. I just want to get a feel for this young man's capacity. So I said, okay, let's start with math. Let's a joke. How much is 5 times 5? This guy's getting married, and there's a long pause, and he says, is it 50? I said, no, it's not 50. There's another pause. And he says, is it 100? I said, no, it's not 100. I said, and if you don't know math, how could you go into real estate? Maybe you'll buy something, sell it for less than what you bought it for, and think you made a profit. So when kids don't go to high school, now I'm not talking about college, which is a whole different ball of wax. We understand Reb Aaron said Kol Bayel La Yeshuvan, etc. But why, when a boy is 13, 14, 15, and 16, are his parents and his yeshiva, right, making the decision that he will never earn a living in his life, will likely be impaired earning a living? Would you cut your child's arm off, a child who you raised, right? So, yes, there are exceptions. There are always the idiot savants who they're going to say, I know so-and-so who didn't go to high school. I know, and we all know people who are in their 90s who may be obese. Not a lot of people, but you can point to a chain smoker who probably lived till 100. It's all true, but we have to go with the average and the median. And the median shows that children who don't go to high school have a substantially impaired level of ability to earn a living if they can't read, write, and do arithmetic. Because even without college, if you think you want to be a seicha, you have to know how to read, you have to know how to write, you have to know how to do math. So why are we depriving? Now, here's interesting. We called 50 different yeshivas that don't have English, and we asked them if they would come on the air and explain to us why doesn't this fall under the chiyuv of chayiv adam lalamid b'nai umnis, which the Shulchan Aruch brings. Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Vav, I believe it is, that you're allowed to hire an English teacher on Shabbos because it has a din of a dvar mitzvah, right? And it's interesting, you know, we say achshir dara, you know, Rabbi Hanan was asked, and this is in the Kovit Shurim, it's in Chelik Beis, Simin Mem Zayin. He was saying that on one hand there's a chayev lamid b'noi umnes. On the other hand, Rabbi Hanan had the great yeshiva in Baranovich. He said, you know, we're supposed to only learn Torah. So he brings the machloikis, Rabbi Nuroi, who said, Eini lamid b'ni ela Torah. And the Gemara that says about Rashbi, harbi asu olu b'yadam v'loy asu keni, harbi asu keni v'loy olu b'yadam. He says that those who just wanted to learn, they were not successful, and they starved on some level. So he said, what is it? So Rabbi Hanan says that this, that it says that you were chayiv adam lalamid b'nei umnes is a chiyav, he says. He says, Rabbi Nuroi, who says you didn't, is there are exceptions. There are those who are unusual and exceptional, and they will maybe lead the world, or maybe they will be the Ga'inim, who they are the ones who said, you don't have to teach umnes. He said, everybody else, you have to teach an umnes. Now, here's what's interesting. We'll have Rav Gifta, who says that even if you want to learn, if you have no diction, and if you can't speak, and if you can't know, you don't know math, he says, you're not going to be able to learn. You're never going to be able to inspire an audience. If your English is broken, if your ability to communicate is distorted, you're never going to be able to get up and speak to an ilam who wants to hear something in English. And how are you going to do all the gemaras that require math? So his attitude is, even if you want to learn, you should need high school. But here's what's interesting. We could not get a single one of these yeshivas to have somebody on air to debate this. Chassidish or Litvish. There are many, there are a number in the Litvish world, there are many in the Chassidish world. So it was, to me, it was quite upsetting, because if you can't support your position, if you don't have enough confidence, if you don't have enough belief in it to support it, how do you cut children's arms off? How do you kill people if you don't even have the courage to get on a short interview and explain in a polite way, halachically, what your foundation is? So that will be some of the conversations we have today with the most fascinating group of people. I'm oft criticized for showing where I believe on things. I apologize, because here I think it's going to be obvious. I do think, yes, how children should be able to read, write, and do arithmetic. Before we start, I would like to say a vart, and I thought of a vart that has to do with both achila and the difficulty of living in this world and the nisyonos we have when earning a living. It says in this week's parasha, towards the end, before Maftir, talks about after Kabbalah Satira, the Yiru es Eleke Yisrael, the Tachas Raglav, Kemase Livnas Hasapir. Under the feet of the Rabbeinu Shalom of Kaviyachal of God was some type of a brick sapphire work, Ukeetzim Hashemayim Latayr. It shone with the purity of the universe, of the heavens. And then under this brickwork, this intricate brickwork, and then afterwards it says, Vel Atzilei B'nei Yisrael Lo Shalach Yad, to the princes, the most distinguished, the finest of Klal Yisrael, who saw this, Lo Shalach Yadai. And then it says, Vayechezu, as an astounding pasuk, they saw this element of Kabbalah Satira, they saw the Shechina of Yerus, Elikei Yisrael, they saw this, and it says, Vayechzu es Aleikim, they saw Hashem, Vayechlu Vayishtu, and they ate and they drank. Now the question is, the Mefarshim say, they ate and they drank. Imagine having a barbecue while looking at the Shechina, while looking at the Tachas, you know, Raglav Kemase Livnas Asapir. So from the Baal Shem, they say a beautiful Torah from the Magid. And I'm going to dress it up a little bit, the way I understand it. They saw two things. They saw Livnas Hasapir. They saw Etzem HaShemayim L'Torah, the Shechina. Nothing more transcendent than that, right? They saw the Shechina itself. But then they saw the brickwork. Now, brickwork, there is no brickwork in Asia. That means the work of man, right? And they saw this brickwork, or the sapphire brickwork, and they ate and they drank. So the Baal Shem says, he says, you know, a lot of times people think that living in this world is a dirty thing. brickwork. Imagine, what does brickwork represent? It means, for a mother, all the tireless toil. Where is the glory? Where's the shechina of making supper, of diapering a child? For a father, of doing homework. Where is the glory in all of this? And the answer is, there isn't any glory, right? We would think it's so far from God, so far from Hashem. But he says, no. He says, the Kaviyachal rested his feet on this brickwork, the work of man. He says, and when we realize that there is true holiness in what we do, right, then you could eat and drink and realize that that's all part of serving Hashem. Yes, serving supper, you're cooking macaroni for the kids, that's part of serving Hashem. Right? Nesava Kadosh Baruch Hu Dira B'Tachtainim, he wanted us to live in this world, and in this world, our eating, our drinking, to elevate it, the Maisa Livna Sasapir. Putting your kid on the bus, that's serving Hashem, that is holy, that's Maisa Livna Sasapir. When I was a yeshiva boy in Eretz Yisrael, going back a long time ago, was one Bein Hazmanim, and I decided to rent a car and to go up north. Everybody wanted to see the Golan Heights. I rented a car. I didn't have any money. So we rented, oi, mamish, a shmata car, like you can't believe. And you could imagine this car had some difficulties with its motor, etc. But we puttered all the way up north. And then we come someplace north, was maybe Kiryat Shmona. It's a long time ago, I remember. And a car starts belching black smoke. So we ask around, and somebody says, oh, there's a mechanic, Yaakov, he says he has golden hands. And then one guy says to me, Hutzadik. I said, oh, how interesting. And he could fix, if there's anybody here, he could fix your car. So we go to Yaakov, the mechanic. We come there, we roll in, our car's belching black smoke. And I'm wondering, what is this going to cost? How am I going to get back to Yerushalayim, etc.? And this fellow, Yaakov, comes out, he looks at the car, he puts it on the lift. He's very, like, Ernst the fellow. He had a big yarmulke on. And he said, I can fix it. He comes back up. I can fix it. It'll take me a little while. So I jokingly said to him, Yaakov, you're a mechanic. You're obviously, you know, you're a very religious fellow. And the guy called you a tzaddik. I said, like, tell me, like, are you a tzaddik or a mechanic? I was kibitzing. I was, you know, 20, young yeshiva boy. So Yaakov says, I'll tell you, he says, I am a Baal Tshuva. He says, I'm a repentant person. He says, I had no education. I became religious. I'm a mechanic. And I go to synagogue. He says, I go to shul. And I listen to the rabbi speaking such holy words. And I realize I'm so ignorant. I know nothing. And he says, I started to cry. I would pray and I would cry. I would say, Lord, I'm so ignorant. How can I even be a religious Jew? He says, and one time the rabbi comes over to me, he says, you seem so sad. He says, Rabbi, he says, what am I? I'm a mechanic. The rabbi looks at me, and he says, your name is Yaakov. He says, do you know what Yaakov in the Torah did? He said, your forefather, Yaakov, you know what he did? He really worked very, very hard. What do we say? Zeli esrim shana beveisecha, Yaakov said. Avadaticha b'shnei v'neisecha. He worked for the biggest thief in the world. And he says, and I was up day and night, he didn't sleep for some 20 years taking care of the sheep. I didn't let a single shepsula get stolen. If the one fell down, I would pick it up. Hayisi b'yoyim achalani chayrev. I did it in the snow. The kerach balayla. I did it with such dedication. He says, but what does Yaakov say about his work? You know what Yaakov says about his work? He says, my work was the holiest thing that I could have done. Right? That's what Yaakov says about his work. He says, what is it? He says, "Lule elikei avi upachad yitzchak hayalikater es anyi my labor v'yagia kapai my toil ro elikim v'yoychach amesh." What does Chazal say? "Gedoyla masiyadayim yoysem ischusavais." He said he was so proud he could serve Hashem when he picked up the sheep, when he chased away the wolf, when the snow fell on him. All of this was service to Hashem. So he said, Yaakov, you could serve Hashem as a mechanic too. So Yaakov tells me, the mechanic, he says, every time I'm about to turn my wrench and tighten the screw, he says, I close my eyes and I say, this too is service. So the holy, the Baal Shem says, the Maggid says, he says, Vayechazu es Elokim, Vayechlu Vayishtu. If we believe we are doing it in service, you could cook supper and it be service. You could eat supper and it be service. You could put the child on the bus and take the child and stay up with them at night and do their homework and fix their computer. And all this is Vayechazu es Elokim, Vayechlu Vayishtu. The Torah of the amazing, the holy Baal Shem and the Maggid. Let's go to our wonderful guests. We have on the phone with us from the Five Towns in New York, Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz, who's the Rav of the Beis HaKnesses of North Woodmere. He's also a Rosh Yeshiva by Landers. Welcome, Rabbi Leibowitz.
Thank you very much. It's always good to talk to you.
So, Rabbi Leibowitz, we got a lot of emails, etc., from there seems a restaurant in the Five Towns open called Doma, and they're serving a $1,000 pastrami sandwich, which sounds like a lot of money to me for a sandwich. And people are, you know, we got a lot of people just more like with asterisks, surprises, laughing. And it seems to me, I mean, on a simplistic level, I mean, just common sense would say, you know, we do have in the Shulchan Aruch, you know, in Kuf Nun Vav, where the Magen Avraham talks about, the Magen Avraham brings that, it's, he brings the Sefer HaMitzvahs LaRambam, that Lechol V'lishtes Derech Zoylo V'soyve is an Issa Deraisa. And the Magen Avraham in Kuf Nun Vav Beis, the famous Magen Avraham, brings the Rambam in the Loisa Sei Kuf Tzadikei. And Aruch HaShulchan in Kuf Nun Zayin brings the same thing. He says, Aser Lechol V'lishtes Derech Zoylo V'soyve, Shinemar B'neinu Zeh Zoylo V'soyve, by Ben Sairu Meira. As recently, the Prima Gadim brings the same halacha, except he brings it, he says, Yerayber is three lavin as Elva Saivi. He says, Yerayber is Shamar Lecha, Pentishkach, and Baal Teshaktu. There's a Sefer Achinach, the Mishnah Berurah talks about it. You know, eating like a glutton is according to many Paiskim, is an Issa D'Raisa. So what we were wondering is, since we're more of a halacha program, is, do you make a bracha? If somebody orders a $1,000 pastrami sandwich, do we say, here's the sandwich, and by the way, there should be an asterisk on it from the Mashgiach, who I understand is the Vod of the Five Towns. I don't know who that is, but I'd like to talk to them. Is, should there be a little asterisk? And by the way, do not make a bracha on this sandwich. That's sort of what we would like to ask you.
I did not think that that would be the first question, but that is an interesting take on it. Just as the Vod of the Five Towns officially is made up of all the Rabbanim of the Five Towns and Far Rockaway community, and it's actually a very, very strong Vod in terms of the world of Kashrus, a very widely respected Vod. It's run by an outstanding Kashrus professional, Rabbi Yossi Eisen. I think when you talk about Zolo Vesovei as Mr. Daraisa, it's very, very difficult to be magdir exactly what that includes. Meaning, we have very high-end restaurants in Manhattan, very high-end restaurants now, apparently over here and in the Five Towns. Is someone who orders a $60 steak at a restaurant in violation of the Nisa D'Araisa of Zolo V'Sovei? I was once at a Mechiras Chametz with I sell chametz with Rabbi Willard Shlita in Riverdale, and to a guy he's been using for 40 years by the name of John Brown. And we have 40 rabbanim there, all selling their chametz. And one of the rabbanim sitting next to me one year says, look at this inventory sheet I have. And he shows me that one guy who was selling chametz through him evaluated his scotch collection at $150,000. And, there's a lot of excess that goes on. And the excess in general is, you know, there are many marmakomos that will tell us that excess in general is not spiritually healthy for us. But to say that lahalacha, one wouldn't say a bracha on it because we're so certain that this is, and this is the raisa, I think that's a little much.
Well, Rabbi Leibowitz, respectfully, I think that you say a $60 steak, I think if you would ask the majority of Americans, they would say, you know, that's an expensive steak. I think a $1,000 sandwich, the reason why it's getting emailed around is because it doesn't exist. So it's the equivalent of an 18 of those steaks in one sandwich. And in common sense just says that there's a certain point where it's disgusting. And I think most people would say $60 is expensive and $1,000 is disgusting. And I can't think of another example of Zelvasai. You know, when you talk about a scotch collection, a collection is exactly what it is. It's something of value. It's made of many, many components. He could sell them, they trade them, they buy them. I think if somebody sat down to drink $160,000 of scotch at one suda, we would say it's a Zelvasaive. But there's nothing wrong with collecting it. But somebody putting a $1,000 sandwich on their plate is, to me, very clearly Zelvasaive. And I
right.
think that it clicks in. It's hard to imagine that it doesn't fit into the Ramban's Hagdara of novel Brisha Satira. And I would say that, yes, if somebody makes a bracha on that, it's a bracha levatala.
I'm still not convinced that it's a bracha levatala. I do agree, obviously, that it's an extreme excess. I don't think, you know, I didn't speak to the restaurant about how many they sold, if they sold any. I don't
think...
They
sold seven. They sold seven of them, it says.
Who says?
I Googled. Somebody sent it to me. There's $1,000 I Googled. It says Domelin and CSO sold today. This is that they started it a week ago, and they sold seven or so in the last week. That's what the article said.
Okay, let me just, we have to be careful with what we find online. Let me tell you a story that happened this week relating to this sandwich. And this is the reason, really, I agreed to talk about this, because we have to be very, very careful before we judge people. I had a fellow that I know for decades call me up this week, and he told me that he was invited by a friend of his, who is a close friend of the owner of the restaurant, to come eat at the restaurant. And as a gift, because this fellow was so close with the owner of the restaurant, he gave these two guys that sandwich, the famous sandwich, for free. That's what he served them. So they got up to wash. They went back to the table to eat the sandwich, to eat the strawny sandwich, and it was this sandwich. By the time they got back to the table, it was like paparazzi. Everyone was taking pictures, and that. You know, this is the famous sandwich, which, by the way, is exactly what the restaurant was aiming for, was to get everyone talking about it. You can't buy this kind of advertising. I think if they sold zero of them, which I suspect might be the more accurate number, I think they were doing this for marketing, and they would still probably label this a marketing success. But this fellow now had his picture going around online with all sorts of crude captions and horrible accusations against him that look at the guy who spends $1,000. Meanwhile, he was a guest of someone who didn't pay for the sandwich. It wasn't $1,000. It was $0. And you could argue that maybe it was bad judgment to even go near such a thing that they would charge $1,000 for. But be that as it may, you know, we have to be careful before we make assumptions about anyone who does things, and certainly before we put things online and we start, you know, making funny jokes that we think are cute, but ultimately hurt a person and his family because they think that that this person is a Zolovasove, let's say, and all he was doing was having a free sandwich. By the way, I asked him how it tasted. I asked him if it was good. He said I would definitely spend $50 on it. It was that good. But
so the question, Rabbi Leibowitz, is that there is a concept of novel versus satira. And when we have restaurants in our communities, and this is their way of gaining, you know, gaining credo by saying we can outdo everybody when it comes to gluttony. The question is, why does a place like this get a hashgacha? What is the message we send our children? When we put the word kosher with a rabbinical seal on something, what are we saying about kashrus? And to me, this doesn't lie far from the concept of, you know, foie gras, which is where they say they don't do it, but historically has been torturing animals as a way to eat more. Like, does kashrus stop with something that's halachically kosher, or is kashrus supposed to be about a certain type of tznius, a certain type of hanhaga, a certain type of erlichkeit? And to sit down and eat with a big hashgacha of a rabbinic seal with the five towns, which you say is all the rabbanim of the five towns, and, you know, it's like to say in Yiddish, unsefressen via behema, is that really what kashrus is about, or is that distorting the whole musig of kashrus?
It's a very interesting question. You should know, when you gave me the opportunity on a number of occasions to host your show, so I one time interviewed, I'm sure you remember, Rabbi Zusha Blech, Zichrono Levracha, who just passed away, and this is the question that I asked him. You know, where do we draw the line in terms of when we give hashgacha on things that are not about, is it kosher in Yardaya? And it's a very, very challenging question. You know, you have a place, Lamashal, that plays secular music that you find to be offensive. Do you not give a hashgacha? How sneeristic do the waitresses have to be dressed? There are all sorts of questions. And well, kashrus agencies, it seems to me, and I can't even speak for the five towns, even though I'm one of the rabbanim, you have to realize there are 50 of us, but what kashrus agencies, it seems to me, just by observing the industry a little bit, seem to have decided to do is, for the most part, with certain exceptions, keep it to kashrus, that all we're certifying is the kashrus, and a person has to use their common sense about you know, what's right for them, and what's, you know, you have a sports restaurant and it has televisions all over the place. So there are places like that under very reputable hashgachos. And some people say, how could you do that? You know, by the commercials that they're showing of a sports game, you know, it's definitely a breach of tznius. And that's true. And the person who wants to stay away from that should definitely stay away from that. It's just, it would become impossible. And maybe this is right, maybe it's not right, but that seems to be the decision that kashrus have made. It would just be impossible to police everything, every detail.
But Rabbi Leibowitz, kashrus agencies don't give a hechsher for somebody who's open on Shabbos, right? It's seen as, even though they're not necessarily, you know, when you're eating kosher food on Sunday through Friday. But it seems they are able to establish a certain type of, say, look, when you cross this barrier, you're not going to get a hechsher from us anymore. If somebody were to have waitresses walking around in bathing suits, I imagine most kashrus agencies would say, look, why, when they put their name on things, they're giving a rabbinical seal of approval. And when it's not approved, they're giving approval on something that is distasteful and people could look at it and say it's a chil Hashem, and it makes a chucha tlula, makes a galechta out of the rabbanim. Shouldn't the rabbanim have an obligation to police themselves and what they give more? And an example would be and I had this with Rabbi Ganak, giving a hechsher on places that torture animals. We saw in a recent case how it created a huge chil Hashem when PETA films came out. Isn't there a certain amount of common sense that's required before we give a heksha?
Again, it's a very, very difficult thing to make the judgment call on each case. You're gonna if you have a restaurant that has a 75-year-old bottle of scotch that they're selling, I don't know anything about scotch, but let's say the mushroom they're selling for $100 a shot or $50 a shot. I mean, and is why is that more or less ridiculous than the 18-year-old scotch? It's very, very difficult to know where to draw the line. I mean, obviously, in my opinion, the take-home from all of this, the takeaway message from all of this is not to necessarily look at the restaurant as the bad guy or to look at the rabbanim as the bad guy, but for all of us to do an internal cheshbon nefesh that if this is the way that the restaurant viewed a successful marketing strategy to prey upon, not prey upon, but to appeal to what really is a terrible midah of the community, which is a tremendous desire for higher and higher levels of gashmias. So as a community and as individuals within the community, we have to really do a cheshbon nefesh and think about, what have we done to change that culture of Gashmias? Have we, in our personal lives, have we done anything to sort of, maybe if we're blessed with certain things, maybe to be a little more tsnua about it, and maybe not to. So I think as a communal cheshbon nefesh is certainly in order, and maybe this brings it to the forefront, but this is just one example of the many things that bring it to the forefront. I think it's always healthier rather than, shooting the arrows at others, but to take a look at ourselves and to say, what have we done, and how do we enhance the values of what really matters in life, of things that are truly valuable, and have a little bit of, we don't have to be Prushim like Rav Aaron Leib Steinemann, but to be a little bit of precious, a little bit of some level of precious in our lives, and to try to hopefully create a counterculture of a little bit of more of a sense of precious.
And are you concerned at all that the 50 Rabbanim and the Vad giving a Hechsher on this place sort of says that on one hand from the pulpit we say one thing, but when it comes to giving a Hechsher we say another thing?
That doesn't overly concern me, because I think it's yadua in the kashrus industry that we're giving a hechsher on the kashrus of the meat, that the pastrami is kosher. We're not suggesting that you go there. We're not suggesting you spend your money there. And, Baruch Hashem, there are a lot of less expensive eateries that people can go at. This is a very, very high-end restaurant, from what I understand. I certainly don't go there frequently, but it's a very high-end restaurant. To me, it doesn't make a difference. I wouldn't know the difference between very high-end, slightly high-end, middle of the road. But that's up to the consumer to really figure out. I think that's the way hashgachas in general. I think that's the way hashgachas have worked. And the truth is, I've been on VOD calls and making these decisions in terms of outside of the area of kashrus, it's not a pasha thing. It's not easy unless there's like a clear, blatant violation. Something like Shabbos is much easier because it's like very clear to identify it. You know exactly when it's there, when someone is open on Shabbos. But to identify excess, to identify something that's beyond what we would deem acceptable levels of gashmius is not easy. And to identify, tznius, for example, even though there may be halachos of tznius, but halachos of not allowed to be in a restaurant where there might be a commercial, it's much, much more challenging. And our kashrus professionals are busy enough trying to keep an eye on all the kashrus. It's very challenging to keep an eye on everything, and we have to, it's Rabbanim's responsibility, and myself included for sure, to try to inspire the community and ourselves to have higher levels of valuing that which is truly valuable, and to make our decisions in accordance with that.
Rabbi Leibowitz, thank you very much. It's as always an honor and a pleasure to have you on.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We have on the phone with us from New York City, Rabbi Gedalia Weinberger, the Chairman Emeritus of the Agudas Yisrael. He's a member of the Executive Committee of Torah V'Das, the Chairman of PCCS, one of the most famous Askanim in America. Welcome, Rabbi Gedalia.
Thank you very much, Rabbi David.
Rabbi Gedalia, we're speaking about the last number of years, it's become very popular for children not to get a secular education in high school. And as somebody who was Mishamish, many Gedali Yisrael, both Rav Palm through Torah V'Das, and in Aguda, you Mishamish, many Gedali Yisrael, I'd like to hear your opinion. And I'd like to, before you start, I'd like to put like a little bit of like a question to it. There have been numerous studies. 10 studies you look at online that show that somebody with a high school education or without a high school education will earn triple the amount. Somebody who graduated high school will earn three times over their life as opposed to somebody who just graduated from elementary school. And, we see constantly people. I as recently as a few weeks ago, I had a boy call me up. He was through the radio program, and he asked if he could speak. He left the message, could he speak? So I made a time to speak to him, and he said he's getting married, and he was a Chassidish boy who didn't go to high school, it's clear, and he wants to go into real estate. What was my opinion? So I said, well, how's your English? Because it was a little. He said, my English is okay enough to get by. I said, like, do you know basics, like math? He said, I think so. So I just said to him, I said, I was doing an interview trying to ascertain his qualities. I said, okay, let's start with a joke. I mean, how much is 5 times 5? And there's like a pause, and finally he says, 50? I said, no, it's not 50. So he said, 100? And he was getting married, this boy. And I said, it's not 100. And I said, you know, how are you going to go into real estate? You may buy something and sell it for less than what you bought it if you don't know basic math. And so, anybody who's in business, who's lived, knows that a high school education, reading, writing, arithmetic, is very hard. So my question is what right do parents or mechanchim have to take a boy who's 12 or 13 when they go into high school and decide at the age of 13 years old, we have now come to a conclusion that we will make your ability to earn a living, as hard as earning a living is post the klal of Adam Arishin, we will make it, you know, infinitely harder by not giving you the very basics. And what do we do with the Gemara? It's called Mishen Malamde B'nai Umnis Malamde Listis. What does the Gemara say? Hanig Ben Minig Derech Eretz. What was the das of the Gedolim who you were Mishamish on this topic? That was a long-winded question.
Yeah, okay. I will be glad to expand on it. And I'd really like to relate three different stories. And I think that will shed a light on this. Just in my own opinion, you ask in terms of that, I think the Mafteach Panosa is B'yad Hashem. So, of course, there's no question that that's what happens. I don't think that everybody has to go to college or graduate school by a long shot. Most of the rich people, present company excluded, were not necessarily great students, etc. But that's really the exception. The normal average person needs to be able to have the right tools to go out and earn a living and to be able to support his family. So let me tell you three stories. The first one relates to Tarvah Das. This goes back probably about 20 years ago. Rav Pam was Nifter 16 and a half years ago, and this is when he was still alive. We had a problem in the high school secular studies department, and I went to discuss it with him. And I told him we'd like to make some changes, and he said we should go right ahead, and it's very important that we should do so. The problem we had is that students weren't taking it seriously. They were getting a little bit wild. The lack of discipline was even affecting the Limudei Kodesh, etc. We made some changes. We fired some of the teachers that were not being effective. We hired some very excellent teachers, all from, many of them were public school teachers who were heads of their department. And between June and September, it was a change from day and night. Really, a remarkable change. The quality improved, the discipline improved, even the happiness of the students improved. I went back to report this to Rav Pam, and he said that this was wonderful and we should make parsumas of that. We should advertise what we've managed to accomplish. And I asked him at that time, you know, Rebbe, sometimes there are parents who come and say they don't want their students, they don't want their children to learn secular studies. They should sit and learn a whole day Gemara. And I want to know what does Rebbe think about that? And he said, if you have a Talmud who can sit and learn for 14 hours a day, uninterrupted, then he should definitely sit and learn. He doesn't know too many Talmidim that can do that. And therefore, they need a break. You need to be able to teach it to them. And if you teach it to them, you have to do it at the highest quality. Because the worst thing you can do is teach them that bittelsman, wasting their time and just, you know, paying lip service is okay. And Baruch Hashem, we've been able to carry that through for all the years since. And that's one story. Another one, I had some Rashi Yeshiva who I had a meeting with and talked to. They were from an out-of-town yeshiva, a very good one. And I told them that I admire the yeshiva because it's both really tops in Limudei Kodesh and in Limudei Chol. And I said that from experience I've seen that that's very important. I'm involved with PCS, which is Professional Career Services, and we do placement and do training. And over the years, we've trained thousands, literally thousands of Bnei Torah to get really good parnosis. We have over 1,000 people who've gotten a master's degree from Philly Dickinson University, but only taking our courses, you know, really on Taharas HaKodesh. And I've seen that those who come with a high school education are able to master various subjects well. And those who don't have that are really handicapped. One of the Rosh Yeshiva, the two Rosh Yeshiva.
Define handicapped, Rav Gedalia. What is handicapped?
Well, you said it the best at the beginning. And if they can't multiply 5 times 5, how are you going to do something in accounting? How can you do some real estate when you have to deal with amortization and complex computations to find out if something is profitable or not? How can you deal in the world if you can't read and write English well?
So do you find that are they unable, then many of them unable to complete the PCCS courses? Do they drop out? Do they take a simpler course in something more blue-collar? Like, what happens to them?
Yeah, well, in reality, we don't let them in because we learned that those who don't have the right skill set to be able to complete the course would just be wasting their time and their money. So we do a lot of pre-screening, and those people who we think are not going to be able to make it, we don't say anybody that we will not let you in. We just really dissuade them from taking it because we don't think they're going to be able to succeed. And that's true whether we're teaching them computing, whether we're teaching them real estate investing, whether we're teaching them accounting. It carries out throughout, really. So many of them go. Some of them take blue-collar jobs, unfortunately. That really does happen. And then they're crippled all the time. And, you know, some of them are existing on programs and various government support, and they are trapped in that because they just can't afford to get off them. And it's really a very sad situation, but that does happen. So that was that. And that one of the two Rosh Yeshivas that was there asked me to put this into writing so that he would be able to, when parents come to him and ask him to allow their children not to take secular studies, he'd be able to show them this letter that says how they're going to be disadvantaged by not having the right level of secular studies.
So here's a letter I received from a fellow mayor, I don't want to say his last name, in Lakewood. I have 3 children. I did not get any high school education. I work in a warehouse with Puerto Ricans piling boxes. Imagine this,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, well, listen, you know, if somebody really has no education, he's that handicapped. Now, you know, people,
listen to the next line, okay?
Yeah.
I have nothing but hatred for the Rosh Yeshivas and Mechanchim who gave me this bad advice.
Look, I won't even begin to comment on that. I don't know that hatred is at all appropriate. I'm sure that they meant well. I don't know that I would agree with what they've done, but they really meant it in the best way that they can. But sometimes actions have consequences. I wanted to share with you one more thing. I have a letter that Rav Mordechai Gifter Zatzal wrote to his enikel. And he talks about, he thanks him for the ha'aruf he sent, and in part of the letter he says the following: perfect yourself in the English language, both in speaking and in writing. And then in Lashon Kodesh, he was matik from Reb Shlomo Eger, which he had written to one of his children, and it's brought down in the Sefer Chut HaMeshulash, Daf Ayin Zayin. And it's written in the Tshuvos Reb Shlomo Eger also, that recently came out, and this was written quite a while ago. And he writes that L'hashlem atzmecha b'ksiva u'v'loshon, that's from Reb Shlomo Eger, to make yourself whole in language and in writing, ki hu inyan tachlis l'ma'od. No, the Briyos v'Nagam
L'Shamayim. You're quoting Rabbi Akiva Eger or Rabbi Gifter?
There may be Rabbi Gifter writing in that, although I'm not sure. But he's quoting, this is what he wrote in Lashon Kodesh after he said that he talked about the introduction of this letter from Rabbi Shlomo Eger. So let me just read you the language, and I'll just tell you what he says, because it keeps going. He says, L'hashlem atzmecha b'ksiva b'loshon, ki hu inyan tachlis l'ma'od, no l'priyos v'no gam l'shamayim. Ki yodata, because you know, asha mechuyev l'ma'od eza umnis medina, a person needs to have umnis medina. V'itim eila, and in these times I'll kapon him, hachiyev l'ma'od dvorel ha'mashlimim asa adam v'iskei masa v'matim. V'kol she'en lo'y leksa v'lo'y loshay, karoy ha'kosev, and he brings down a pasuk from Avadia, as Bazi Atom Yoid. Okay? Kimashi Darsho Alayan Sha'in Loy like Savalai Washington Gmar from Avaidazara, Daf Yud, which was recently in Daf Yani. And then he talks about how important it is to learn language and to learn the skills that you need for parnassa. And those are my
so,
three stories.
So, Rav Ghazalia, I'm always, I get a lot of critical that I don't of letters and voicemails that I don't have the other side of the argument. What is the other side of the argument for your average 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old not to learn reading, writing, arithmetic? I'm not going to, let's for a minute walk away from the Mitzuyanim, the Yechidim who are going to, you know, the leaders. I mean, mind you, there are, I could probably give you a list of 50 yeshivas, right? Who all of them, each one of their bachrim is going to be a leader in Klal Yisrael. You know, it's, do you know that 80% of drivers think they're above average?
Yeah, that's
so,
yeah.
So what are accepting those, you know, those yechidim who are really going to, what is the other side of this? How do we take a 12-year-old and say, you will be impoverished, we're taking away your ability, when you have a family, they're always going to live on programs, they're going to be imposed. What is the other side of this argument? Please enlighten me. I mean, as President Aragudah, the Chairman Aragudah, you must have spoken to many of these Rosh Hashivas or Mechanchim who are part of Aragudah. Please tell me, what is the other side?
The other side is, you can take a look at Lakewood, which is an Ira Kodesh, the envious soil. There's no question that there are a lot of people who have done quite well with having a minimal education. That's the reality of it. It
yeah, but Rav Ghazalia, respectfully, it's true. But if you look on the census map, right, the entire Frum area in Lakewood is below the poverty level. So it's like, you know, you meet obese people who live to 95, and you meet people who smoke who live, but that's not how you do a median or an average. For the most part, the people who didn't get educated, and again, the census map says it, live below the poverty level. So, is it the yechidim who didn't go to high school who really we're going to look at and say, wow, here's a guy who didn't go to high school and made it?
No, I just wanted to just qualify one thing in that. First of all, the poverty level is very much defined by the family size. And in Lakewood, B'li'ai and Hara, the family sizes are quite large. So even poverty level isn't that apt, you know, really that great. However, I'm the wrong guy to ask because I agree with you in principle that I believe that this is important, that they should have an education. The other side of the coin, let me just, you know, let's give
yeah,
you one
I want second. To hear, because Rav Ghazalia, I know that yeah. as the chairman of the Aguda, being a diplomat is the most critical thing. You must know the other side of this.
Yeah, and I'm chairman emeritus, so I'm retired from that office, but I deal with PCS, which we have all of these people who are coming for Parnassa, and we encourage them. We have the other side of it is that people manage poverty level and what you need to exist and everything that goes with it really changes. It really depends on what you need. People are willing to be mistapit b'mu'ud. They're willing to be happy with less. And those people who do it, it's, you know, tell me I'll let him brush them that they can do that. It's not an easy Nisayan.
But my question is if why should somebody have an Nisayan their whole life? Like you say, it's not an easy Nisayan for the next 40 years or 50 years when it's for 4 years taking a class in the afternoon. And let me ask you a question. Is a 13 and a 14 and 15 really going to sit those 3 hours in the afternoon? Is it going to be a life-changing thing to him, those extra 3 hours of learning that he's going to do between 14 and 17?
Let me go back to what Rapam told me. What Rapam says, that if there is somebody who really can do it and really sit and learn for all those hours, maybe it is life-changing. Rapam just said he doesn't know that many people can do that. And for most people, forcing them to sit for a whole day learning only the Mudei Kaddish doesn't necessarily work. That was his opinion. That's what he had seen. And Rapam was very strong into learning. I know of a certain Rosh Hashiva where he told that person that his son should sit and learn the whole day and not go and not study secular subject. But that's a yachid. That's not the rabbin. And it's not necessarily true that most people can do that, and surely that most people can survive. I agree with you. I believe that those who really espouse that believe that it is worth taking that chance and that they should perhaps end up in poverty. Hopefully, you know, Kaddish Baruch Hu will provide them. We live in a Malchus Shoseses, so there is different support services, and they will manage at that level. That's what I think that's what they would say. You know, I'm not one to in any way argue with them. I'm not saying that there isn't another side. I'm not saying that there aren't times where it should be. And, you know, again, I'm not the one there. I'm not a Kli Kodesh. I don't, you know, in any way profess to be able to say an opinion on that. But I'm sure that they're doing it out of good motivation. They're not doing it out of anything but that.
Now, do you know what Reb Moshe, Reb Yankiv, go back to the Gedolei Olam who lived here in America, what was their opinion?
I didn't have any chance to in any way interact. I mean, I did interact to a certain degree with Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, who was Rosh Hashiv in Tervidas. And in Tervidas, especially in those days, I would say 80% of the students, or somewhere close to that, went to college. And it wasn't anything that anybody objected to. And I would say that most of the Rosh Yeshivas that we had in the yeshiva had either sons or sons-in-law who were also well-educated, and their children were well-educated. Their children attended high school. So there's no question that this was something that was of value at that time. Times changed. You know, you have to go with the Novi of the Dar, and this is a different Dar. That is the way they think. You know, I'm not going to be the one to argue. I would say that it's important that people have the alternatives, that they have the choice, and they have to deal with their Gedolim, who they believe in. And it's not clear that all the Gedolim would say that what's happening where no one is going to have a secular education would be correct. I don't think that that's true. I don't think it's true here. And again, from experience and conversations I've had, I don't think it's true in Eretz Yisrael either. There was no question that a lot of them, when you speak to them, and speak to them, as you'd say, somewhat times off the record, would tell you that they do know that people are going to have to go to work and they have to be prepared for what career they're going to go into.
And what's fascinating about Eretz Yisrael is that the GDP of Eretz Yisrael is on a par of most of the Western world. It's just around $40,000 as the, you know, GDP per capita, that is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yet the Frum Olam Dia lives in such absolute poverty. I mean, it's not for a lack of the ability to earn a living. It's for the lack of training, or in some cases motivation, but it's not because the living where there is an opportunity.
It's true, but on the other hand, I just came back from Eretz Yisrael a week and a half ago. We had the Yachik Hallel, a wonderful event. But I was there for the Shabbos. Afterwards, you go into the streets, you see the children. You know, I don't think you're going to find happier children anywhere else in the world. To that level, they're joyous. They're just really happy, even though they are living at whatever level you want to call it, it's the poverty level or not.
He's saying, notwithstanding, you seem to see that in Eretz Yisrael, the children are indeed happy.
Yeah, I would say when you look around, you'd see that the children are indeed happy. That doesn't mean that there aren't issues. We have issues there. You have issues here.
Issues everywhere.
And you have issues everywhere. You can have it in the most prosperous communities with children getting the best secular education in the world. And there are plenty of issues, and sometimes they're much worse. And so, you know, it's not necessarily one that you can judge by a statistic or by the numbers that are there. It is what it is. But I think, you know, again, the things that I said, you asked me for my experience in talking to Gedolim, those are the Gedolim that I cited to you. And their belief was that somebody does need to be prepared for the world. And to be prepared for the world, you really have to be able to have those three basic skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, as they say. And even more so today. Today it's a different world, and the education is not, you can't get away with just that. You really have to have more. So in PCS, we try to provide it. We, Baruch Hashem, have had this chus to be able to train, you know, over 3,000 people. And a growing number, and good education, where they've gotten really good parnassus. That's how it's supposed to. We try and make it available to everybody that we can.
Well, thank you very much. It's Rav Gedalia Weinberger, the Chair and Emeritus of the Agudas Yisrael, Executive Committee of Torah Vadas, Chairman of PCCS. Thank you for your time.
My pleasure. Take care.
Bye-bye. Let's hear what the Gedolim have to say about it. What's interesting about it is, Lamashal, the Mechaber in Kuf Nun Vav in Erechaim, the great Beis Yosef, who I guess today wouldn't be let in, his kids maybe wouldn't be let into high school, says that after you finish your learning and your davening, you're supposed to go to work. He says you go to work. The Mechaber in Kuf Nun Vav, I think it's of Katan Aleph, right? Yelech lavaydasei. So should we be telling a high school kid who's, or rather a grade school kid graduating eighth grade, I'm sorry, no high school for you. You are going to become such as homophobic, it's not necessary. What do we say? No, figure it out after 12th grade. Let's start again with, we always start with, a Goyen of Shmuel Kamenetsky.
Teach him, you should send him to a normal place.
Okay.
He has to grow up normal.
Okay.
Now here from Eretz Yisrael, we have Reb David Yosef, who has a more, really a more right-wing opinion, I'll say.
My opinion and my experience, I have long experience since I was myself in Yeshivik Tane. I'm telling you, you cannot compare one, if you want to be Talmid Chacham, you cannot compare one that learned in Yeshiva without English subjects to one that learned only Torah. If someone learns 8 hours every day, Gemara, and 2 hours English. And the other one learned 8 hours Torah, and he didn't learn English subjects. The one that learned without English will be bigger Talmid Chacham. Much, much bigger. And I saw it when I was learning in Yeshivat Hebron. Some students came from Yeshivat Tichonit. They learned secular subjects also. And they were big Matmidim. But the level was much, much lower. Lower level, because their brain was not only dedicated for Torah. And we have to know, if the brain has things, not only Torah, you put a different thing, it means the Torah will be less. So if someone wants to, his son to be just Talmid Chacham, he sees, Baruch Hashem, he's learning, he wants to be Talmid Chacham, the best thing to send him to a place that learning pure Torah and only Torah. And I want to tell you, about that, in our generation, something changed. Something happened. We have now cell phone. We have computers. And I think it's also very bad. We have to find a way that the children will not have that if they have cell phone, not kosher phone, or computer, not kosher computer, or they play in the computer long time every day. It's also bad. It's like to learn secular subjects. It's not less. So if we want our children to be Talmidei Chachamim, it should be Torah, pure Torah, and to prevent them also from that technological stuff.
Rav Nissen Kaplan.
This is a real tough question. I will explain why. Some people, it's good for them to learn English. You know, you're right. If I knew, if you could sign to me that this is the next Moshe Feinstein, I would say forget about it. Yeah? But I don't know if he will be the next Moshe Feinstein. I don't know where he will be. I don't know why his Rebbe feels like that. Could be his Rebbe really wants him to go to that yeshiva. It's not because the Rebbe is so important to him that he would not learn English, but he thinks that if he will be in a frumer environment and a frumer yeshiva, this boy will have an effect to grow very strongly. On the other hand, if he will be in a different yeshiva, even if it's a good yeshiva, it could be this kind of boy will get distracted with different kind of studies, and in the end he will not come to where he has to come. So if I would be the Rav of that family, I would really discuss with the Rebbe to hear what is the reasons that made him to take this decision. I think the parents that are asking the question is not exactly fair, because the question is not education and only Torah, going back to the question, Torah, Avodah, Remei, Melamedan is B'yumnus, and not Melamedan is B'yumnus. You know, we have so much people that learn in yeshiva without no education, and they're multimillionaires today, yeah? And we have people that went to school and they didn't make a penny. We have everything today.
But my question, Kod Harav, it's true, so then Remei said, Chayivadah, why teach him an umnus? There are so many people who are...
I'm getting back. But that was not the mother's question. This is what I'm trying to explain. I don't think in the discussion of this young fellow that we're discussing, we have to bring the world question to melamed bni umnis or not. Again, a lot of times, I'm just first answering. You know, we try to answer these people from all over the world. That person asking this question has to understand that could be they have a nice boy. He's in the eighth grade. Yeah, and now he's going to go to high school. And it's two kind of eighth, seventh grade. I don't know every country and every state how it goes to. And a lot of times, these boys, you send them to yeshiva, they grow. Then they come to learn by me. And when they're 21, I tell them, do college by night and catch up. And sometimes I tell them, no, you go to be a Rosh Yeshiva. We're not blocking the boy. Just a lot of times, the boy is in a kind of crossway that the Rebbe thinks that now it's good for him. This is what I really think. I don't think that the Rebbe is saying, no, don't teach people abilities to have a parnassa. So I would really suggest, I don't mind if she would call me personally and I would try to call the Rebbe and help her, but I think we have to know what is standing behind the Rebbe's decision if to know if she's right or wrong or to discuss it with the Rebbe and to hear both sides of the picture.
So what is the Rav's opinion about, in general, sending kids to high school or sending them to a school that doesn't have secular education, being that, even though there are exceptions, for the most part, children who do not get a high school education struggle much more to make it in the workforce should they decide to go to work?
I'll tell you, the question is a very, very hard question. And I will explain. Sometimes you see people that go to high schools with education and they become choshuvei guys, choshuvei tamim chachamim. And you have people that don't go to this and they go to full limudei kodesh and they go off in the end. And it's hard to answer on a specific person. The reason the Gedolei HaDor are pushing that we'll have a lot of Moses with less education is, this is what I think, you know, I'm not in that position that, you know, that made the system and they're running the system, but, you know, Baruch Hashem today, everyone learns the Fayami. I would say most people. Most people open an Al Gemara, right?
Yeah.
A large amount of people, 50 years ago, it was not like that. Everyone has chashivas to Torah. Why? Because there's a lot of Torah. So even the people that are not learning the whole day, but no one will give up on a little bit of learning Torah. Everyone wants to be a part of the system of Torah. If everyone will study, and everyone, we don't know how the picture will look in the end. You're right. When you're speaking of a specific person, sometimes you think, oh, he will not have education. If we would not have Lakewood full with people, I don't know if in the edge, just 1 second, I'm sorry. The edge, we will have so much Torah, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, but
the
first 50 years of Lakewood, everybody in Lakewood had gone to secular education. This new mud in America,
the cutout high school is a little bit of chadash. I'm saying again. Could be detail right, you're right. I'm trying to explain the big picture in Mashkofa. We don't have a study in taking everyone and start to make today open wise. You know, the world today goes to corners, to left, to right. No one is anymore in between. This is our generation. Money is very strong today. Everyone is making money. All the young guys are making money. Everyone is pushing for money. If everyone will have this ability, and it will be a normal thing, could be no one will want to stay and learn in the end. We don't know how it will look.
But I know,
my father lived in Baltimore. I'm just saying, what, you know, a lot of times people say, look how many kids go off the derech from the system. Yeah? And I say, listen, I don't know. But for example, we'll say 10% go off from the derech because of the system. I'm just giving an example. I'm sure it's only 1%. But just to make it easy, I'm saying 10%. I'm sure it's even 0.5%, 0.25%. What if we would not have the system so strong? How many kids in there? You're right. A lot of boys that is hard for them will fit in the system. I agree. But who knows how much more boys in the end will not care not to be in this learning. And I mean less. I don't have a study on it. And I think when people are judging the system, it's a question mark. I don't know the answer. But I think that the system is strong, a lot of people fall out of the system. But a lot of people, they start to learn. I see some of my kids, you know, they're in school, and they go to a good yeshiva, and they get the drive, and they're zooming up, yeah? I don't know if there will be no system. I know for myself, I'm sure, you know, from different people. No, but Asmanim, a lot of times people learn less from doing this man, right? Why? Because there's no atmosphere around you, so even the good person learns a little bit less. I'm not saying that because of that to do the system. I'm just saying it's hard to answer if the system is right or the system is wrong.
So you're saying that, so let's go back to the question. The din of chayiv adam lelamed b'nai umnes, is it relevant b'zman hazeh or not?
So it's like Rabbi Chanan discussed it, if I remember right, in Kevitz Ma'amolim, that it's not so pashut if it's really relevant. In the old days, a person did not have a way to live and to survive if he didn't have a umnes. In our days, there's ways. A person doesn't have to learn. I know a lot of Talmidim of mine, I could tell you names. They learned in yeshiva for 5 years, and after that, when they were ready, they took a little course, and they're running nursing homes all over America.
There's truly exceptions to every case. There are people that will be successful
if they were blind.
But Ramea said, "Kol mi she'ein melamed b'nai umnes melamdei listis." You certainly have that same reason today.
Right, but I'm explaining it. Today is much easier to catch up later. This is what I'm trying to explain.
Shalom.
Here's Rav Shafran, again, very nuanced. You know, the Paiskim very often have the they see real life in very nuanced opinion.
Well, let me ask.
It's not, there's not only one way. One of the chesronim of the Antigador is that everything is the same. Whatever is for the biggest rabbitson, it's for the smallest balas tshuva. It's not everything that's for the big rabbitson is for the balas tshuva, and not everything that's for the big roshiva and the big tamtrochim is for a poshti yid. It depends on the kind of family, the kind of people, what does it look like? It's also this, the ashkofas of the people. There's no halacha on dafke like this. There's no dafke this way. Not this
saying
way.
It's very
whatever,
sensitive.
Whatever I'm
going to
say, you can say the other way around. And it's right. There's two ways. It's five ways. There's 20 ways.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't halacha on this. It's really dependent on what kind of background the family is. It's right that if it's the background of an American kind of a family that is also to take a job, then he's not going to get a job without education, high school education. And you're supposed to prepare your child to live hope to his life.
And here is the opinion of Rabbi Herschel Shechta from Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. I imagine we could understand where he'll be going, but let's hear how he says it. I think his point is very often that eighth grade kid who the Rebbe says is going to be a gadol, well, maybe the eighth grade Rebbe isn't such an expert on who's going to be a gadol, right? How do we know who's going to be a gadol when they're 12 years old for the most part?
Okay.
I remember I attended a bar mitzvah of a Talmud of mine who was making a bar mitzvah for one of his younger children. So he tells me that an older son who was already graduating high school, so the Rebbe thought that he's so gewaltig, like this description, that he really shouldn't go to college. He doesn't need any college. He's a Mitzvah girl. What do I think? So I said, I don't know your older son. Maybe if I'll talk to him and learning. So by the way, Mitzvah wasn't shy. So he sent a boy. He was an older boy, about 17 or so. He was finishing high school, starting college. So he sent them to speak to me one day in learning. So I whatever perek he was learning, so I asked him questions, and the perek didn't know anything. I don't know how the Rebbe thought he was concerned, didn't know anything. So I never called the father back, and the father never called me. The son must have told the father that I gave him a faher, and he didn't know anything. What do you mean the Rebbe said he's gewaldic? He couldn't answer one question straight. Maybe the Rebbe was giving a lot of pilpul in the shir, and I was asking just facts. I don't know what pilpul the Rebbe said. I'm just asking, what does the Gemara say? What does the Mishnah say? What does Rashi say? What does they say? That he couldn't answer. Maybe he knew a lot of pilpul. He couldn't. So the father didn't ask me, and I didn't tell him. he realized that the kid is going to need college. Then he came to YU. He learned in Mashiach. Then he learned in Adshim. Now he's a Rebbe in Yeshiva. Now he knows how to learn. Now he's a Rebbe in Yeshiva. But I don't think that's right. How can the Rebbe tell when the student is holding by elementary? He's finishing elementary school. They should send him to a high school without any secular studies. What's going to be later if he doesn't steig in learning? You have to have a backup to be able to make a parnasa. The father is mechuyev lelamda umnes. He has to teach his son a parnasa. He has to be able to make a parnasa. I don't think that's right. To send a child in his day and age, to send a child to a school where there's no secular education for high school, I don't think that's a smart thing. I don't think it's proper. How can the Rebbe already know if the child is only finishing high school? Elementary school, he's only finishing elementary school. He already knows. But Malola is not care now. He can tell already now that he's going to be such a big Talmid Chacham, he's not going to need any secular education to make a living. I don't think that's right.
We have on the phone with us Hagoyin Rav Nachum Eisenstein from Yerushalayim. He was the Makuriv, Shamash Bakoidish with the Rashke Bahag, Rebel Yashiv Zecharon Lavracha. He also made him the head of the Geiris Bezdin and many other shtelas. He's a Rav in Yerushalayim. Welcome, Rav Nachum.
Shalom Aleichem to all the listeners.
Somebody asked us, they said they started a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael in Yerushalayim now with Limudei Chayil, and it made a very big tumult. What's the Rav's opinion? Now in America, it's become popular to have high schools without English.
Okay, and, so I really don't want to discuss it because next it's all that it was unheard of that a yeshiva ktana, a high school, should have any limudei chol, and in America there's rabbanim in America, things are different maybe in America, and there's rabbanim and rosh yeshivas. It's for them to decide. Maaga, I'm sure you're familiar with the tshuvas by Rav Moshe. The Rav Moshe invites very, very strongly against going to college.
Yeah, but what I'm talking about high school, which is really about...
Yeah,
isn't there a chayav
l'lamed?
Isn't there a din chayav adam l'lamed b'nai umnes? Rav Nachum, isn't there a din chayav adam l'lamed b'nai umnes? Isn't there... Then we say hanig b'minig derech eretz, the Gemara says.
Okay, so first of all, I want to tell you from my class, just like my class, I'm already an old man, and that from my high school class, that the ones who, what's name, became successful and made a lot of parnasa were the stupidest people in the class. And they
didn't
get, they got the worst grade.
Though?
So you see, parnasa's talking to Talmud in the Shemayim.
So what does it mean, chayiv adam lelamed b'nai umnes?
Okay, if you teach a person the basics of basic skills, which they teach over here, that's enough of umnes.
So let me tell you a story that happened. This happened to me a few weeks ago. A boy calls me up. He asked if he could call me. He sent us an email. I said, yeah. He's getting married, and he wants to know if I could give him some advice. He wants to go into real estate. So he had like an accent, like a little bit of a Hasidic accent. So I said, do you speak English? He said, yeah. I said, do you know any math? He said, I think I know math. So I figured I'm interviewing him to try to assess him. I said, okay, like a joke. I said, how much is 5 times 5? This is a boy getting married, and he stinks for a few minutes, and he says, 50? I said, no. So he thinks again. He says, 100? So I said to him, I said, no. I said, how are you going to be able to go into business? Maybe you'll buy something, think you're making a profit, and sell it for less than what you bought it. Right? So I think that reading, writing, arithmetic, without it, I mean, if you didn't speak English, you couldn't speak to so many thousands of people. I think there's certain basics, and we're not talking about learning advanced calculus, etc. Why doesn't that fall into Chayiv Adam Lamed B'nai Umnes?
These basics which you're talking about, you can all learn in grammar school. Take any kid in fifth grade or in sixth grade, not even eighth grade, you'll ask them what 5 times 5 is, he'll tell you it's 25. So if you have a case where a person doesn't even know the basics, so maybe any Hanami, but the school's teacher in Eretz Yisrael also, you get the basics, you'll ask any kid who finished the cheder over here, he'll know 5 times 5 is 25. If you have an exceptional case, the person doesn't know that, so that has to be dealt with. But again, on the basic issue, I don't want to answer because there's Rabbanim and Mechanchim and the Rosh Hashivas in America, so they have to decide what's necessary for America exactly what you're saying, what's necessary for America, that a person should be able to live and make a panasa according to the minhag medina, the standards of the medina. Here in Eretz Yisrael, but if you've got the basics, if you're learning in the chadorim which they teach you, that's enough to make a panasa. If you're doing anything more than that, it might not help you, and it's and then the rest is panasa is minishamayim. So those basics you get over here also. In America, they feel you need more basics, and you have to get a high school education also, and limud ekol. So that's the rabbanim in America have to understand what the standard is in America, and I don't feel that I have any right or authority to answer the issues what should be done in America.
So let me ask you a follow-up question then. The gross domestic product per person in Israel is almost $40,000, which is amazing when you consider like Jordan or Egypt, it's less than $2,000. Means it's 20 times as successful. It's on a par of the Western world, $40,000 per capita. Not as high as America, but almost as high. And yet, Haredi population in Eretz Yisrael is under the poverty level. I was in Eretz Yisrael by a cousin, a doda of mine, and her einikel came in, and she asked him if he could borrow money. He doesn't have money for the bus back home because his koil hasn't paid in an amount of time. So why have, in Eretz Yisrael, leaving America aside, why have we abandoned the concept of Chayiv Adam Lamed B'Nayomnes? Because there are going to be a certain percentage of people who are going to be big Talmidei Chachamim, like the Rav Shlita, and like other Paiskim and Marbitze Torah. But I like to say 80% of drivers think that they drive above average, right? Which is absurd. So there's going to be a hamoinam. What happened to the chayiv adam lalamid mayumnis to the hamoinam? And it's obviously not working if such a large portion of the population is below the poverty level. And I'm sure you see it daily.
I don't think the situation is any different. In America, a person has to make a shtadlus, they have the basics, and again, I'm really not authorized to talk on this matter, but again, the rabbonim in each place, they have to decide how much a person should know, what's the minimum he needs to survive according to their society, and you also have people in every society. The Gemara tells us, let me ask you a question, the Gemara says, there's a knee in Pashit. And
that's the exception, not the majority. It's not the majority. First of all,
I don't know if that's true, and I don't know if it's the majority in Israel either.
Well, if you Google...
And you have it all over. You have in America people... I want to tell you, the people who are in the workforce, don't make panos either. People have good professions, and they make what's considered nice salaries, and they can't make ends meet. So that's you can't make any klolim, and it's the rabbonim and the mechancha from each door and each place. They should decide what the minimum is necessary to what's. And I know people who have no background at all. They're the people that they learned computers themselves, they learned other trades themselves, they did it all by themselves, and they're very successful businessmen today.
But
people are mamish big rich people today, and they didn't have a secular education either.
Rav Nachum, there's no doubt that there are exceptions and that there are people who will be successful without any education, but there have been many studies done, and it shows, for example, somebody who doesn't go to high school will, over the course of their lifetime, earn a third of somebody who did go to high school will earn 3x. Some say 2x of somebody who just went through 8th grade. So there have been studies, and I'm not talking about of 100 people, I'm talking about of 50,000, 100,000 people, huge studies that showed there's a direct correlation between education and earning ability. So it's true that there are people who weigh, you know, are obese people who live to 90, and there are chain smokers who live to 92, but we can't make the exception of the obese person or the chain smoker lived to 90. You have to look at the median of, if you took a majority of obese or smokers, they would have a shorter lifespan substantially than people who were makbid on their health, right? Who did halacha? They heeded their health. So there are very large studies that show this. And given And it's exactly as the Gemara. The Gemara says, Chayiv Adam Lalamed B'Nayum. All the studies have discovered what the Gemara knew. So my question again is, if the studies are correct, if the Gemara knew it, why are we being makbid on the halacha?
Because all these studies are referring to people who did not learn in yeshivas. But a person who learns in yeshiva and a perkba kolba, and he learns how to think and he learns how to do things straight, he can get out his thinking and his ability to deal with life. It'll be much more than he goes to high school or college or any other thing, which they don't teach you. Midas Tavis, they don't teach you how to think, and none of these studies make studies from yeshiva people. So you can't make a generalization from a study which is referring to people who are high school dropouts or grammar school dropouts, to people, Baruch Hashem, they're sitting and learning in high school and yeshiva and post yeshiva and kollel and stuff like that, which they're learning takes their mind and it puts it into place, which is way ahead of anyone who pushes has any other education, whether it's in Midas Tavis.
It's a very valid point, Reb Nachum. So we had on here, we had Reb Gedalia Weinberger, who runs PCCS in Lakewood, where they take the guys who come out of Coyle when they're 30, 35, and they teach them. And he said the boys who didn't go to high school, they stopped accepting them, he says, because their reading and their writing and their arithmetic was so behind that they teach, basically, accounting. He says, how could you teach accounting to somebody whose basic math is so flawed? And he says, we stopped taking boys, this is in the Lakewood enrichment program, we stopped taking boys who didn't go to high school because we see a very clear differentiation, which makes sense. Another 4 years, when you stop learning when you're 12 or 13 English, basic studies, how much do you remember from 12 or 13, right? So he says, Bibsari Echse, we stopped taking these guys, and it has a material impact. And based on that, I say, why aren't we being makbid on the halacha of Chayiv Adam Malamed B'nai Umnes, Ein Malamed Umnes, Malamed Listis? Who wants it? The whole concept of chinuch. Who wants to teach their children to be a robber?
So again, I'm telling you that in each country, in each place, the rabbonim and the mechanichim from each place, they're the ones who should decide what is necessary to have a minimum education in order to deal with life, with real issues.
Okay, I accept that.
And it cannot make any generalizations, and especially generalizations from some surveys and statistics and something like that. That's, in Hebrew, a statistic in a survey is called a seker. It's called a seker. In Litter, it was hard to pronounce a shin. They couldn't say a shin. It was almost, it came out like a samach. So a sheker and a seker. That's what a literature shall say it. So all these so-called, it's a joke here in Israel, if anyone has a seker who makes a survey, it's a sheker, it's not a seker. Numbers are made to lie with.
Very good. It was always, it's an honor and an interest having you on. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye. We have on the phone with us from Toms River, New Jersey, Lakewood, New Jersey, Rav Zalman Gifta, Beis Medrash, Kahal Masibas Mardechai. He's the son of the great Telz Rosh Hashiva, Rav Mardechai Gifta. Welcome, Rav Zalman.
Shalom Aleichem.
Rav Zalman, we are struggling to understand that it's become sort of a mudda that many people don't send their children to English for high school. They send them to a totally Limud HaKodesh high school. And we are struggling with it for a number of reasons. I mean, the Gemara says, Chayiv Adam Lamed B'nai Umnes, and Shulchan Aruch brings it, the Magen Avraham brings it in Kuf Nun Vav, the Rambam in Shin Vav, in Holcha Shabbos, you'll lead a ladder higher, an English teacher, a math teacher on Shabbos, the Gemara says, the Shulchan Aruch says. And if you look in the Nisei Kelim, it would seem that those who hold like Reb Nuri, it was the way the Bir Halacha brings it. It was for Yechidim. The Nefesh HaChaim himself, who's the prime architect of this opinion, says it was for Yechidim. He says Harbuasu. He says when it's Harbe, then it's not successful. V'layasu. He says, but Harbe Deka. He says for Yechidim it was. So to establish multiple high schools and say everybody in our high school goes on the is Yechidim, is there some type of a logic, a makar lahalacha? Could you maybe, as a denizen of Lakewood, try to make us understand that, help us understand that opinion?
It's very hard for me to speak on behalf of Lakewood. I would speak as what I was mekabel from my father. The world says that my father had a sheet that everybody must go to English versus other gedolim that did not think so. I believe that is a very big mistake. I don't believe that there was ever a sheet from any gadol that you're not supposed to have any Talmud Chol. In fact, anybody that was reading into the life of Rabbi Leib Steinman will notice how Rabbi Leib constantly spoke about Achshir Doro, meaning how lucky we are that Torah has come to an elevation in today's day and age where people look favorably on Torah, rather than in the times of Litta, the great center of Torah of Litta, people look down upon Torah, and very few people came to learn in yeshiva. Today it is unheard of that a parent will not want to send a kid to yeshiva. Why was it that in Litta people didn't send their children to yeshiva? It was because of a matzav of parnasa. They had to work, and therefore they could not, in order to live a poor livelihood, and they needed the children to help them. Baruch Hashem, in America, it's not so. Everybody appreciates Torah, Baruch Hashem, and they're all sending their kids to yeshivas. My father believed that when we have a yeshiva, there is a government here in the country that says we have to have a secular education, a high school education, and therefore his big sheet there was not to kill time. If you have to go there, you must utilize it to the utmost. Whatever takes a goy hours to achieve, we B'nai Torah can achieve that in much less time. So the 2-3 hours you're going to give for high school, utilize it, because you'll get all the chokhmah b'goyim tamim. Mathematics is not a chokhmah b'goyim. Mathematics is a chokhmah which even you need for Gemara. Myself personally, my father did not tell me I have to get a high school diploma, but he told me you must go to the English to learn English and mathematics. Mathematics is on Daftas Hobben, and English because you must know how to express yourself. My father would constantly speak about the problems that can a shedden can English and that can a shedden can Yiddish. That kind of shedden Ivrit and that kind of shedden came Lashon Kodesh. A person has to have a language to be able to express himself. And it's important for every yeshiva bacher to be able to express himself. And when he comes before a non-affirmed Jew, he should make a Kiddush Hashem. And the way to make a Kiddush Hashem is speaking properly to be able to express yourself. That was his shita. Not everybody that came to tell yeshiva went to high school. They got permission from the Rosh Yeshiva that they do not have to go if the parents showed that they will provide chavrusas for the children, which will keep them learning and they will not waste time. The ikur was not to kill time. Do not waste time. Time is extremely precious. And we see in the fact that my father is known as the father of the art scroll Shas, because he fought for the art scroll Shas, because he felt that for the American Jewry, we have to bring to them Torah in the language they understand. And therefore, if it's Bala Yerushalayim that are working on the project, we have to have such a project. And he went all out for this, that is known, the Rav Shach was against it until my father explained it to him that it's necessary here, and history has proven what it has accomplished. So therefore, it is extremely important to know the language to be able to express yourself.
So, given all of the above, can you try to explain to us why many in Lakewood are opposed sending their children to high school to learn either math or proper diction of English, or spell, reading, writing, arithmetic, basically?
I just want to add, it's not only in Lakewood. This has become a fad in all yeshivas today. It's become the fad, in order to be yeshivish, you're not supposed to know English, and you don't have to speak English. You can speak Yiddish and English. In fact, yesterday I was speaking to Rav Shimshon Scherer, and he tells me, you know, I spent a year in Telz, and I remember a story that happened. I was accustomed to my father, Rav Moshe Scherer, being extremely close and friendly to the two Rosh Yeshivas, your father and Reb Baruch. And there was a situation in the home where my father was struggling for a shidduch for my sister. So I went over to the Rosh Yeshiva, Reb Baruch. Your father and Reb Baruch were walking out of the meeting, and your father was a little ahead of Reb Baruch. And I tell Reb Baruch, my father needs chizuk for a shidduch for my sister. Maybe this and this bach and beis medrash would be a shidduch for my sister. So Reb Baruch answers me, ich hab echt getracht wegen dem. Und ich bin ein bisschen reluctant wegen dem. So your father turns around to Reb Baruch. Reb Baruch, der Wort ist nicht reluctant. Oder mir kann das sagen, wie man darf oder nicht. It's reluctant. To the Tars haben Wort in Yiddish. He says, that was to teach me a lesson in life. When you speak, you got to pronounce everything correctly. That was what your father stood for. So today we have a problem that people want to be yeshivish, and they're not listening to, I'm not the one to speak, but they're not listening to what the Gedolim say. The Gedolim don't agree with the Mahalach HaLimud of first saying yeshivas also, that you don't learn too much and cover too much more. Right? And how much, look at all the masifters that are not going to English. What are they covering in that time period of instead of learning English? Not too much.
So who is the, if we want to interview somebody and ask him, who is the father of this, what you call fed, that if not to go to, not to get educated in reading, writing, and arithmetic?
I couldn't tell you who the father is, because no one can say it's a Lakewood Shita, because Rebel Yishrei was the Rosh Yeshiva of Philadelphia. That branch of Lakewood, which Reb Aaron started by sending Reb Dave Schwartzman there, those that know the history of Lakewood, and Rebellia did have English. Philadelphia has an English curriculum. So I don't know who's the one that can say what Reb Aaron Shita was.
Now, this that they say Reb Aaron was opposed to English in Lakewood, could you give us any of, you know, what your father thought about that? What do you think about that? You've lived in Lakewood most of your life. Is it true?
I didn't live in Lakewood. I did not live in Lakewood. I learned in Lakewood as a bacher for 3/4 of a year after I came back from Yerushalayim. And then I had to leave Lakewood. And now I'm here 2 years.
Uh-huh.
But
can you give us any insight of what it means when they say Reb Aaron was opposed to English in Lakewood?
It's very hard for me to explain that, because when Reb Aaron was nifter, Lakewood, I don't believe, had 70 people there. We're talking about Kedei Le'olam, these 70 people. They were mustered to Reb Aaron. They weren't high school age. You came to Lakewood after high school, after RJJ, or whichever other yeshiva you came to. There were bachim that came from Telz to Lakewood also, that was post-high school. So how it became a sheet of Reb Aaron that you're not allowed to have English when Reb Aaron formed Philly that doesn't have English, and it was never negaya in Lakewood, how it became the sheet of Reb Aaron, I could not tell you. I don't understand.
So let me sum. Could you tell me if I say this succinctly? I'm summarizing your father's shita, and that is that. Your father, would your father agree that a somebody who's Asid Liesa Gadol that he should learn English and math too, or no?
My father would say, yes, he could go to English. It will not take away from him becoming the Gadol.
In other words, your father basically was an incredibly effective speaker, Darshan, you know, was world famous, felt that speaking English actually made him more effective as a Talmud Chacham, and he presented the Torah in a more eloquent, in a more explanatory, and in a more mechubadika manner, I take it. Is that correct?
That is 1,000% correct. But I just want to add, I don't know if I should say this or not, I received a phone call around Sukkot time. Someone calls me up. Someone that has a Beis Medrash, an anonymous sister here in Lakewood. And he tells me, I just saw the sefer you gave out from your father on Bava Metzia. I didn't know that your father was a learner. I thought he was an orator. My father has become very easy for people to say, yeah, Rav Gifter was a major orator. That is true, but that wasn't what he was. His success in being an orator was because of his godless in Torah. When he spoke...
Rav Chaim Shmulevitz became a Baal Musa.
Yeah.
They say that in the Mir in Shanghai, there was a tzeis that was missing two pages, and Rav Chaim filled in, hand wrote the language of the tzeis. That's what they used to say over in the Mir.
Yeah.
Right? So, but he's Gevurna Baal Musa. Well, Rabbi Gifta, it's a thank you very much for sharing your time and the shita of your great father, Zecher Levracha, and for joining us.
Batzlocha, Rabbi. Kol tov.
Kol tov, bye-bye.
Muncie, New York. Rabbi Meir Schiller, who is a noted mechanech, famous mechanech for many, many decades already. Welcome, Rabbi Meir.
Thank you very much, Abdullah. Thank you.
So, we had on the last program, we had a number of gedolim discussing the importance of a high school education. So we had Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky said it's very important, and we had Reb Herschel Shecht. On the other hand, we had those who said it wasn't important. And the question is, as far as the Lamed the Umnes, how much are we handicapping our children by not giving them a high school education? So I got a number of letters. It created a big stir, and I got many letters. And the tone of the letters was basically all the data that says people who don't go to high school are handicapped is by those who are dropouts of high school. They're misfits. They're not able to learn. They maybe have, you know, the challenge. Whereas yeshiva boys, they're learning Gemara, Rashi, Tosis, Rambam, Rashba, Tzvarit, Ran, etc. It doesn't affect. So I was curious to hear from a very noted and famous mechanech across all circles. What is your opinion on this?
Well, as one who travels every day between the worlds of orthodoxy where there is college and even postgraduate education and those where there is high school education and those where at the end of the day there is elementary or perhaps less than elementary school education, I do sort of have a window into these various communities. And I think there's no doubt that statistically speaking, the more education a person has, the more money they earn, the more job opportunities, the more career opportunities there are for that person ongoing in life. Obviously, there are exceptions, and there are people who are blessed by Hashem with a particular good business sense. They're blessed by Hashem with particular mazel, and therefore they can have extraordinary success. But I think the people who point to those aberrational cases are not taking into account statistical probability. There is a good chance that would I quarterback New England Patriots, I might complete a pass here and there, but that would not be reason for Belichick to get rid of Tom Brady and hire Rabbi Schiller to quarterback the Patriots, because it would be an aberration, not a statistical probability.
But Rabbi Schiller, the letter writers all point out that there is no statistical evidence for the yeshiva bacha milieu situation. How would we respond to that?
Well, again, they're, I think, in a sense, and I don't mean to criticize them because they have no way to decipher They have no familiarity with statistical probability. Here's what I would say. Take the Hasidic villages or the thickly populated Hasidic communities of Brooklyn, or take Lakewood, and compare the average incomes there. Average, not the exception, the average incomes there. And compare them to the average incomes of postgraduate educated communities. And take your Englewoods, your Riverdales, your Teaneck, the Upper West Sides, and compare them to Square, Monroe, Kessler, Lakewood, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that, again, I don't have data. I understand that data doesn't actually exist, but I think that the simplest examination of the empirical reality would yield that those communities are far more impoverished and far more linked to various aspects of the welfare state than the other communities I just mentioned.
Rabbi Shiller, you answered the question. Thank you very much.
But what I would point out, I think, is that the reluctance of these communities to engage in higher level education is, on the one hand, the Bittul Torah problem. But I think, in a more serious vein, they think they would lose a lot of their tamimus, a lot of their sincerity, a lot of their simplicity, not in the pejorative sense of the term, that they would lose that if they became familiar with the larger world and its academics.
Rabbi Shiller, would it make sense? I know for a region scholarship, you have to learn biology and science, and inevitably in a science book, there are going to be tales about evolution, etc. But for real, just to give your child the ability to earn a living, the basics of reading, writing, arithmetic are very important. Would it make sense for us, perhaps, those who are reluctant to enter into, let's say, to be pegeya and the kedusha of chinuch, to say, look, we're not going to teach science, we're not going to teach biology, it's unlikely that any of our children are going to become physicians, it's unlikely that they're going to work for NASA. But on the other hand, the compromise would be reading, writing, and arithmetic, whatever business you have to do, you have to be able to balance a checkbook, balance a statement, open and teach computers, basics, Excel, with perhaps a hybrid education where it's really lalamid umnis, hands-on, would that be perhaps a compromise where we can give our children, you know, Rashi says the definition of av, av lapare, Rashi says, chaver upatron, a patron means somebody who protects. Father's job is to protect their children. Would possibly a new type of a high school education that's more hands-on, that is really like the Gemara says, lalamde umnis, be a compromise to protect the Taras HaKadosh of these children, and yet the father remains a protector and gives them the tools?
I can only say that I'm somewhat familiar with the growing, hesitant yet growing steps in large portions of the extreme right-wing Haredi community. And there is a growing awareness of this need, and there is a sense that as long as we have secular studies for an hour a day, whatever the amount is, that it should be A, serious, and there is a growing awareness that there is a link between certain skills and the ability to earn a living. And I think that what you're suggesting could actually fly, and that there are halting attempts to do that at this point, that a lot of the moistas are trying to upgrade their English departments, and I think they're very receptive to a more creative and more wide-ranging approach. I think it could work.
Well, thank you very much, Rabbi Shiller. It's been an honor to have you on with us.
Thank you.